Güzel geliyor kıyafet.
We'll see how long it lasts.
Okay, let's go. We're on the field of So we saw machlokes in the Mishnah between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shmuel. How many dayanim do you need for a case of malchus? The Tanakama said you need three dayanim, and Rabbi Shmuel said you need 23. Why did Rabbi Shmuel say you need 23? So we saw machlokes between Abaya and Rava. Abaya said you learn from Gzeira Shava, Rosha, Michaive Mises. Just like Chayvei Mises need 23, so too Malkus need 23. Rava, however, said we don't need to bring a pasuk. We can actually base this on Svara. What's the Svara? So if you remember, he said four words: Malkus, b'mokoyim Misa oimedes. Malkus is in place of Misa. So we're going to see various explanations, but the one that we saw so far is the explanation of Rashi. Rashi translated this very literally, and Rashi said that essentially every person who's over an Issa really should deserve to get death, and in fact, to an extent, is getting death. What form of death? As we know, there's Srefa, Skila, Hereg. Malchus is another form of death. It, in fact, is a fulfillment, to an extent, of the Chiyuv Misa, which he deserves anyway. It was a frightening Rashi, but that's what it says in the Gemara. That's where Rashi's understanding the Gemara. So it turns out that every Chiyuv Malkus, the way that Rashi's learning the Gemara, is not really in any way reflectant of a less severe Avera. Every Avera deserves death. For whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decided that with regard to some Averas, that will be fulfilled through Malkus. So let's go again from the sixth bottom line in the Gemara, Ihochi. Says the Gemara, Ihochi, if that's true, if you're telling me that Malchus is a form of death, as it were, Umdana Lomoli, this is how we left off with yesterday. So why would you need to make a medical evaluation to see how many Malchus he's able to take? And if he's unable to take the full 39, I give him less. What are you worried about? Lomoli, why do I need it? Limchaya means hit him. Ve'imoyes limois. And if he dies, let him die. He's chayav to die. So now we understand very well the ihochi. As we pointed out yesterday, ihochi always means that the question is based on the information just given. Without the information just given, what would we have said? That Malchus is a far less severe punishment and he doesn't deserve to die. So obviously, I've got to make sure that he doesn't die, and that's why I have to have a medical evaluation. But now that you tell me that Malchus is a form of death, and it is a fulfillment of the Chiyuv of Misa, so why are we so concerned? Oy gewalt, maybe he'll die. Well, let him die. Even if he dies, even if he dies in the middle of the Malchus, surely that's what he's chayav anyway. So we saw, and this is what we left off with yesterday, the Gemara answers that no. Omale omakro. He answered that it says in the Pasuk, V'nikle ochicho le'enecho. Your brother will be embarrassed, shamed in front of you, meaning through Malchus, but he's referred to as your brother. He can only be referred to as a brother, says the Gemara, the way Rashi explains, as long as he's alive. Which is another way of saying that you have to give Malchus to a live person. So we cannot give him 39 if, in the opinion of the doctors, he's going to die after 20, because that will therefore mean that the last 19 Malchus will be administered to somebody who's dead and he's not your brother anymore. And a basic requirement of giving Malchus is that the person, the receiver, is still very much alive. So have a look at the Rashi, three lines from the bottom. Let's see the Rashi again. On the third last wide line, v'nikle b'sha'as sheloike, at the time that he's getting Malchus, yehei ochicha, he's got to still be your brother. In other words, sheyake esachai, you've got to smite the alive one, v'lo yesames, and not the dead man. V'kiven d'mis lei b'palga, and seeing as he's going to die, in the opinion of the evaluators, doctors say that he's going to die halfway. Ki mochi, when you smite him, al idach palga, on the other half, lav al hachayu, it won't be on the back of a live person. You'll be smiting a dead person. Don't flog a dead horse. Don't flog a dead person. So it's got to be that Malchus, it is ministered to somebody who is alive. Okay. Says the Gemara, we're still not out of the woods.
Yeah, but that I feel like that's suggesting you're going to continue to flog him when he dies.
Okay. If,
like in that answer, I would say, okay, you'd flog him, he dies, then you stop.
So that's going to carry on. Says the Gemara again. It says, V'nikle ochicho leinecho, ki mochis, agaba dechai mochis. You've got to hit the back of a live person. Says the Gemara, 1 second, we're still not done. Hello. Hold the Tanya. We have a braisa that says as follows. Omduhu, remember with an aleph, not an ayin, doesn't mean to stand. Omduhu is from the word umdano, oimid, evaluation. If they evaluated him, lekabel estrim. So the medical opinion is he cannot receive all 39, he can only get 20. Says the braisa, ein makin oisoi, elo makus horuyos lehishtalish. It's got to be malchus, which is divisible by the number of three, the kamohain, and how much is that? Tamani 3, 18. Rashi explains, as we're about to see in a moment, again, those who are with us for malchus might remember this, that the way that malchus is administered is, it's not 39 lashes on the same place. It's in series of three. You start off on his back on the right-hand side, then on the left-hand side, and then on the front. So it's got to be in series of three. Now, 39 is, of course, divisible by three. 13 lots of three. If in the opinion of doctors he cannot survive more than 20, then I don't give him 20. I don't give him 20. Why not? Because 20 is not divisible by 3. I obviously can't upgrade it to 21, which is divisible by 3, because they said he can't take more than 20. So rather I downgrade it, instead of upgrading it, to 18. So if I give him 18, that is divisible by 3, that'll be 6 groups of 3. So again, Omduhu lekabel esrim. They made an evaluation that he can get 20. Ein makin oisoi. We do not give him malchus. Elo makois horuyois lehishtalesh. Hishtalesh from the word sholesh. It's got to be divisible by 3. The kamohein. How much is that altogether? Tamani 3. Tamani is like from the word shmoina. 3 is like from the word eser. Shmoina esrei. So he gets 18 altogether. That's what it says in the braisa. So what's the question? Says the Gemara, turning over the Amud. Limchaya esrim v'chodesh. Why can't I give him 21? What's the problem with 21? Again, how many did the doctor say that he could take? The doctor said he can take 20. So if I give him 20, he will not die. What might happen? The problem is that if I give him one more malchus, then he will die. So, Frank the Gemara, limchaya esrim v'choda, let's indeed smite him 21 times. When will he die exactly? He'll die
after we're finished.
The 21st. If he dies following the 21st Makkah, then when I smote him, when I gave him that 21st Makkah, was he still alive at the time? Yes, he absolutely was. So if you've told me the requirement is I've got to give Malchus to an alive person, he is alive. The fact that he dies afterwards is not a problem. Why is it not a problem? Again, we're going back to Rava's answer. Rava says that every Malkus really deserves to die. It's a fulfillment to an extent of the Chiyuv Misa, which means essentially, there is no problem if he dies. There is no problem if he dies. Why is there no problem if he dies? Because he deserves death. So why am I making a medical evaluation at all, as the Gemara said? Because there's a halachic requirement. You've got to give malchus to a live person. So we've got to be very careful over here. What's the issue? The issue is not that he will die. Rather, the issue is he's got to be alive at the time that I administer the malchus. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, we're still not out of the woods. Because if the medical opinion is that he can take 20, what, he can only take 20, that means give him 20 and he'll still be alive. If I give him 21, then he will die. That means at the time that I'm giving him the 21st marker, he'll still be alive. Because so far he's only had 20. What's the problem? That the 21st marker will kill him off? Like we said before, he deserves to be killed off. The only halachic requirement was that whilst you give him the malchus, he'd be alive. He is still alive. So have a look at the Gemara, top line. Limchaya esrim v'chada. Why can't I hit him 21 times? V'chi mayes b'hach chada. And if he dies with that last makkah, Limus, so let him die. Daha, because surely ki mochis, whilst I was giving him the makas, agaba, at the back, dechaya of a live person, komochis, I was giving him malchus. So everything is fulfilled. Have a look at Rashi, the bottom Rashi in the previous Amud. Says Rashi, on the second bottom line, Omduhu lekabel esrim. They estimated that he can take 20. Vero'u, and they saw, She'en yochel lekabel esrim ba'achas. 20 he can take, but he can't take 21, i.e., Ve'im yakuhu esrim ba'achas, meaning if they indeed give him that 21st makkah, yomus bo, he will die as a result. Ein makin oiso elo shmoine esrei. You only give him 18. If they say you can take 20, you don't give him 20, you only give him 18. Why? The makois horuyois lehishtalish. What does that mean? Leshloisha chalokim boinon. We require that makkas be administered in groups of three. How does it work in groups of three? Shemaka shte yodois, two portions, me'achoyrov at his back, v'shlish melafonov, and the third one in front of him. How do we know? Says Rashi, umikra from the pasuk, nafgalon. We learn this all out from Sukkin, be'eloin alokin, in the parak called Elohein Alokin. Have a look there for further details. Says Rashi, we don't need to go into that. That's not so much our subject, where we learn it from. But the bottom line is that makkas have to be administered in groups of three. Therefore, we downgrade it to 18. Says Rashi in the top, Rashi, why? Limchaya esrim b'chada. What would be the problem? Let's give him 21 makkas. Doho akati, he is still. Akati means still. Doho akati chai hu, he is still alive. Va'agaba, on the back, the chaye of a live person, mochi, I am giving malchus. So what's the problem? So again, the fact that he will die, that's not the issue. He deserves to die. The only issue is I've got to give malchus to a live person. He is alive. At the moment, he's alive. The fact that he will die following the 21st makkah, why is that a problem? As long as the 21st makkah was given to a live person.
So we say, because he was over Hashem's will, he's Chayav Misa. But Hashem had mercy on him and made a decision that he shouldn't die. Otherwise, we would have put him Chayav Misa. So now if we're putting him in Sakana for Misa, we're not following Hashem's will. Because if you're going to be so cavalier and say, listen, we gave him the 20 and the 21st, and then he died. So that's what was supposed to happen to Menia. But if that was Hashem's intention, he would have been Chayav Misa. So we have to do everything we can not to let him die.
And I can't answer for Hashem's intention. I can only answer for Rava. Rava said Misa is a form of death. It is death. It's a type of death. We don't care. He has to die through Misa. He has to die through Malchus. Some people die through Sreifa. Some people die through Chenek. And some people die through Malchus. And that's precisely the Gemara's problem. If he deserves to die through Malchus, why am I making a medical evaluation of how many he can survive?
Because nobody knows if he's supposed to die through Malchus. There are people who have Malchus and don't die. There's nobody that Hashem condemns for Misa that lives.
He's supposed to die through Malchus. That's the Gemara's initial thought. If you're telling me that Malchus is in place of Misa, it means instead of killing him through Sreifa, instead of killing him through Chenek, you kill him through Malchus.
Want every single person we give Malchus to die?
That's the question of the Gemara. If that's indeed the intention, why must I make a medical evaluation? If he's supposed to die through Malchus, why'd I have to make a medical evaluation? Let him die. That was the purpose.
But the answer is,
you're right, but there's a specific halachic requirement that Malchus has to be given to a live person. That's the problem. But indeed,
I think it sounds to me that, it's not, again, I'm just who am I, but it sounds to me that the Gemara is saying, well, he's not Chayav Misa, but Hashem mercy. That's why we're giving Malchus. It's not a form of Misa. And if he dies because of it,
it's not a downgraded punishment. It's nothing to do with mercy. He is supposed to die through Malchus. That's what Rava is saying.
Okay.
Not a mercy. It's a different form of death. And that's the Gemara's question. If it's a different form of death, let him die. To which the Gemara is answering, you're right. We have no problem in the fact that he dies. But there is a technical requirement that apparently Malchus has to be administered to a live person. So there's no point in him dying in the middle. So what about when he won't die in the middle, he'll only die afterwards? I give him the 21st, following which he will die. What's the problem? Answered, Omar Le, Omar Kro. Let's reread the Pasuk. V'nikle Ochicha Le'inecha. V'nikle is the Malchus. Following which, it says, Ochicha, he's still got to be Ochicha after the Malchus. Achar Shaloka, after I give him the Malchus, Ochicha Bohino, I still require him to be your brother, the Lekka, and that has not been fulfilled if he dies.
And what would the Gemara say about, let's say, before this Pasuk, what would the Gemara say about the people they give 39 Malchus to when they live? So he has him to fulfill, the punishment has not been fulfilled because it was Chayav Misa.
That's exactly what the Torah told me to do. I can't do more, I can't do less.
So there are people who survive Skila, Sreifa, Beherek, Bechanek, they survive it?
There's a form of Misa called Sreifa. There's also a form of Misa called Malchus. That's the Chiddush of the Gemara, that there's a Misa called Sreifa, there's a Misa called Chenek, and there's a Misa called Malchus.
And if you give someone Skila, he can live?
The previous Tosfos, the last Tosfos on Daf Yud Amud Aleph. Because all of what we just learned now is based on Rashi's understanding. Again, Rava only said four words. Rava said, Malchus b'mokoim misa oimedes. Let's absolutely translate faithfully those words. Malchus stands in the place of Misa. So Rashi translated that very literally. What does it mean that Malchus is in place of Misa? Meaning he deserves to die. And this is a form of putting him to death. So Rashi translated very literally. But have a look at the bottom Tosfos. Tosfos offers, in theory, two possible alternatives. And we'll see whether he remains with them or does he agree to Rashi at the end of the day. Have a look at the bottom Tosfos. Malchus tachas misa imedes. Yud Mem. What does Yud Mem stand for? Not Yosef Marx, but rather Yesh Mefarshim. Yesh Mefarshim. Yesh Mefarshim. Some explain. Mishom The B'nai Noyach, this is Negev for our Sedra, Matan Torah. The B'nai Noyach, as Horoson Zuhi Misoson. What's the halacha? We know Goyim have Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noyach. They only have seven mitzvahs or Aveiros. Now, what happens if a Goy transgresses one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noyach? The Torah has given him a azhara. Azhara means a warning. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not eat Eva Menachai. What about the punishment? That's the warning. But what's the punishment? So we have a klal. With regard to Goyim, azharasam, their warning is their death. So technically, a Goy is punishable by death, punished by death, for transgressing any of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Which means, prior to Matan Torah, before Parshas Yisroi and Parshas Mishpatim, what was the general rule? The general rule, if you're over a mitzvah, you chayav misa. Which mitzvah? Any mitzvah that you are commanded to keep, meaning Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. That was all prior to Matan Torah. What happened post-Matan Torah? All of a sudden, the Torah was given. And what does the Torah now say? As opposed to the standard general rule that existed until now, which was Misa across the board, now there's a new rule. And what is that rule being introduced at Matan Torah? That actually, sometimes, it's not Misa. What is it? It's Malkus. So when the Torah now says, do not eat Nevela, do not eat Chazir, do not eat Basa B'cholov, what is the new rule post-Matan Torah? It's no longer Misa across the board. Prior to Matan Torah, for the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, it was Misa across the board. Anything that they are warned about, as Horoson, if they're warned about not to transgress, Zuhi misoson, then that is their chiyuv misa. Comes Matan Torah, and that all changes. And now, even if there's a warning, don't eat basa b'cholov, but there's no more misa. Rather, it's malchus. This is therefore a new understanding of what does it mean that malchus is in place of misa. Not like Rashi understood that every person who's over an Aveira essentially deserves to die and Malkus is a form of death. No. According to the Yesh Mefarshim, what does it mean, Malkus b'mokei Misa? It means it has replaced Misa. It used to be prior to Matan Torah that every Aveira was punishable by death. This has now morphed into a new form of punishment. Look at Tosis again. Yesh Mefarshim. Mishum de B'nai Noach. When it comes to B'nai Noach, Goyim Azhoroson, their warning by definition means Zui Misoson is punishable by death. However, V'nitnes Li Yisrael Malkus Al Azhorosoi. As opposed to a Yisrael at the time of Matan Torah, what does he get for his standard lav? He only gets Malkus. Tachas. Tachas doesn't mean underneath, it means instead. Instead of Misa de B'nai Noach. It's instead of Misa of B'nai Noach. Now, let's press pause for a moment. Go back into the Gemara. What was the Gemara's original question? The Gemara's original question was, why, according to Rabbi Shmuel, do you need 23 Dayonim to adjudicate over a case of Malkus? Surely, 23 Dayonim is only required in cases of death. That was the question. So why would you need 23 for Malkus? What was Rava's answer? Four words. Malkus b'mokei misa imedes, which is another way of saying that basically Malkus is very closely related to Misa. So therefore, you do need 23 for Malkus as well, just like you do for Misa. So now the big question is, what did Rava mean when he said that Malchus is closely related to Misa? Malchus b'mokri Misa. So according to Rashi, what did it mean? It is a fulfillment, it is a type of death. Got to die by Malchus. That's why I need 23 Dayanim. But according to Tosfos, it's a completely different meaning. Not that Malchus is a form of death, but rather the death penalty, which was the standard rule for Bnei Noach, has morphed and been replaced by the new rule, which is that the standard punishment is not death. Rather, the standard punishment is Malchus. But at the bottom line, Malchus is now a replacement for Misa. And just like Misa requires 23 Dayonim, so too Malchus also requires 23 Dayonim. Not the way Rashi explained, because Malchus is in fact a form of Misa, but rather it is a development. Misa has now morphed into Malchus. So for Bnei Noach, what was the standard rule? Standard rule was any lav, any azhora is a warning, any lav is automatically punishable by death. What's the equivalent for a Jew? Any lav is automatically punishable by Malchus. So it is exactly the equivalent and the replacement of Misa. That's why it has the same rules as Misa. So if Misa requires 23 Dayanim, so too Malchus also.
But aren't there rules that are Misa for Sheva Bnei Noach and also Misa for Jews?
Yeah, but like that's what I said before. The standard rule is every Azhara is Malchus unless specifically stated otherwise. But it does not say in the Torah what happens if you eat Bosa B'cholov. So that's the standard rule. Wherever it doesn't say, the automatic default rule is Malchus. For a Goy, the automatic default rule is Misa. Such
but
that,
for instance, a Goy is not, it says you can't, a Goy can't kill, I'm assuming, right? It's one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach, right?
Any one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach has one standard rule. They're all punishable by death.
Okay, so let's say one of the Mitzvot Sheva B'nai Noach is you can't kill. So now if a Jew would kill, you think the standard punishment would be Malchus. But
because it says in the Torah clearly that.
Okay, you're saying there's a specific thing that. Right. But if you kill, you'll be killed. Okay.
Right. But in the standard case, the Torah is full of 365 lavin, and many of them, maybe hundreds of them, the punishment is not written clearly in the Torah, so you go to the default rule. The default rule is, whereas the Goy would get Misa, the Jew would get Malchus. So Malchus is an exact equivalent of Misa. Therefore, what is Rava telling you? If you want to know why does Rabbi Shmuel require 23 Dayanim for Malchus, surely that's the rule only for Misa. What's that got to do with Malchus? The answer is, it has everything to do with Malchus, because Malchus is the exact Jewish equivalent of the non-Jewish Misa. That's pshat number one. Continue on with Tosfos. Va'oid yesh loimar. Alternatively, we can suggest something different now. Mishur, maybe now this is our third possible explanation. One in Rashi, so far one in Tosfos in the name of the Yesh Mefarshim, and now oid yesh loimar. What's the next possible alternative? Because the zimnin, because sometimes mesim al yedei malchus. Because sometimes, for all the good intention in the world, for all our medical evaluation, but sometimes a person does die through malchus. Kedetnan ve'elu ein al agoylin, as it is written in the second parak, umeis ze tachas yodoy. Upotor, the Gemara talks about a whole sugya about does he have to go to Golas? Remember, we learned the second parak of Makkos once upon a time. If a person kills B'shoigeg, then he has to go to Orei Miklot. So what happens if the Bezdin evaluate that he can get, for argument's sake, 18 Malkus, and after 10 he dropped dead? So would the person who gave him the Malkus have to go to Golas? So it's a whole discussion. The Gemara says, no, he does not go to Golos because he was doing a mitzvah. But either way, what do you see from that Gemara? You see from that Gemara that sometimes it does happen. And the Gemara's only discussion is the fact to tell you that actually he's exempt from Golas. That's what it means. Umeis ze tachas yodoi. If this poor fellow died under the hand of the Bezdin whipper, Upotter is exempt from going to Malkus for technical reasons because he was doing so for purposes of a mitzvah. But either way, what do you see? That it's not unheard of for somebody to die, unfortunately, through Malkus. So this is now a third possible explanation. Not like Rashi, that every Malkus is basically supposed to kill you off. It's a form of Misa. Not like the first Pshat in Tosfos, that it's a replacement for Misa, but rather just the reality is that sometimes a person dies in the middle of the Malkus. So if that's the case, again, why did Rabbi Yishmael require 23 Dayonim? Surely you only need 23 when you're putting something to death. So what's the answer? The answer is you're right. Well, sometimes he's going to be put to death because accidentally he will die. Now, why did we say yesterday that we cannot learn this Tosfos until we've seen the continuation of the Gemara, which we now have learned? Because if you keep on reading in Tosfos, says Tosfos, v'kosher l'shnei ha'pirushim alolu. But it's very difficult, according to these two explanations, d'mai porich. What on earth are we asking? Ihochi umdana lomoli, quote unquote. How did the Gemara follow up this Teretz of Rava? The Gemara said, oh, if so, remember we made a whole big Ihochi, and if so, why would you need to make a medical evaluation? One second. According to the two explanations that Tosfos has just suggested, does the Kasha of the Gemara make any sense? Let's take this slowly. The first pshat in Tosfos was that what? That Goyim get Misa, but Jews get Malkus, which means he's not supposed to die. It's a replacement for Misa. So how on earth can you turn around and ask a question, why do I need a medical evaluation? Let him die. What's that supposed to mean? He's not supposed to die. How can the Gemara ask, let him die? Doesn't make any sense. So too, according to the second pshat. What was the second pshat of Tosfos? That unfortunately, tragically, on occasion, a person dies in the middle of Malkus. Not that that's supposed to happen. Well, if it's not supposed to happen, once again, how can the Gemara turn around and ask a question? Why do we need a medical opinion? Let him die. What do you mean, let him die? He's not supposed to die. So the question of the Gemara makes no sense according to either one of the two explanations of Tosfos. The only way we can understand the kasha of the Gemara is if we learn like
Rashi.
We learn like Rashi. So look at the last words of Tosfos. Upirash akuntras ikka. The explanation of Rashi must therefore be the main one. Rashi explained that Misa and Malkus is basically the same thing. And anybody who transgresses a law essentially deserves to die. Ah, then the kasha of the Gemara makes perfect sense. If he really is supposed to die, then it makes very good sense that the Gemara asks, well, if he's supposed to die, why am I making a medical evaluation? Let him die. Who in the world cares if he dies? So therefore, even though Tosfos brought two possible alternative explanations, but based on the continuation of the Gemara, he fell away from both of them. How can the Gemara possibly ask, well, let him die? He's not supposed to die. Whether Misa is a replacement, whether Malkus is a replacement for the non-Jewish Misa, or whether he accidentally, tragically dies in the middle of Malkus, but he's not supposed to die. And if he's not supposed to die, it makes no sense to ask a question, let him die. Says Tosfos, therefore, I must conclude. That both of these explanations make no sense whatsoever, and only Rashi's pshat makes sense. So Rashi's pshat at the end of the day is that what? Malchus is literally a fulfillment of Misa. He deserves to die. And therefore, the Gemara's question does make sense. Let him die. So,
maybe the Gemara's question is Dafka question against Rashi Shita, which is Rava Shita, which is, according to you, he's supposed to die. Then why are we bringing a doctor? Obviously, he's not supposed to die.
Right. That's the Gemara's question. Exactly. That's the Gemara's question only, but it only makes sense if you learn, like Rashi, if Malchus b'mokim miso imedes meant that he was supposed to die, then the Gemara's question makes very good sense. If he's supposed to die, why bring the doctor? Let him die.
The Gemara is questioning whether that's the pshat in the Torah.
Right. If, again, according to Rava, the way Rashi explained, that Malchus b'mokim miso imedes means he is supposed to die, the Gemara says, doesn't make any sense. If he's supposed to die, let him die. Well, who needs doctors if he's supposed to die? So a beautiful Tosis. Okay, Emetz Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue on.
So maybe Tosis okay. Answers as and if you're looking for a different shot in the Torah, here's what the Torah could have meant.
Right, but then the Gemara can't ask a question. So the fact the Gemara did ask a question clearly means that Rashi's pshat is right. I would love.